whenever God calls on me to be blessed and being ministered to and ministered through to you, it's a blessing. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I'm going to always ask that we give Jesus a hand clap. Amen. Amen. We're going to always celebrate God. Amen. Amen. We got 1,000 holidays. That's the one that should be going on, ongoing every day. Yes. Celebrating God. You hear what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. God is our all in all. He's everything to us. So why shouldn't we celebrate God? Mm-hmm. Every day. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. It's a pleasure to see all of you. God bless you. Thank you so much. Jesus is pleased that we heeded the call to come to church this morning. Amen.
Amen.
What better place to be in the house of God?
Yes.
Than 1,000 places elsewhere, because ain't no telling what we'd be doing if we ain't in church. Amen. So it's a blessing,
yes,
when we come into the house of God. Thank you. You know, just giving honor to God who is the head of my life and my Lord and Savior and King, the Lord Jesus Christ,
yes,
our Master. The pastor of this church, in his absence, we're still grateful to God for him, for his service, for his heart, as Glenn alluded to, and we thank God for him. And our prayers do go out to him and to the First Lady, his wife, to the elders of this church, the Browns, Mr. and Mrs. Brown, and to the household of faith, welcome, and if there are any visitors, welcome, and I believe that God is looking forward to doing great things for us today. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
We're going to open up in prayer and turn this thing over to Jesus, because he already here. Amen. It was good. Amen. Worship this morning. And we just want that to continue. We want his spirit to continue to flow and have sovereignty in this place.
Yes.
Amen.
Father God, we come in the name of Jesus this morning, humbly before the throne of God. Lord, with our hearts on its knees before the foot of God, just giving God glory this morning, we give God the praise. Lord, we thank you. Thank you, Lord God, for such a time as this, a time when we can come together, Lord, unlike in some other places, Lord God, that we can come together and still lift up our hearts to you. Lord, we'd like to display and declare your glory and your goodness, your grace, when we raise our hands, Lord God, but our hearts are raised up to you this morning. I love our Lord. Our minds are clear this morning, Lord God. We look forward to what He's yet going to do for us in this time, in this day. So, Lord, we just turn over this service. We commit this service to you. We commit this day to you. We commit our work to you. We commit our families to you. We commit our ailments to you. We commit, Lord God, our setbacks to you and our weaknesses. We talked about repentance today, God. And that's what you came to this earth for, Lord God Jesus. That we will be granted the opportunity to repent. So if anybody needs to in this time, I pray in Jesus' name that their hearts would reach out to you with repentance. Start with me, God. And these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
This morning, and you know, just thinking about this pestilence that we're experiencing, a plague, or whatever they call it, pandemic. With Sister Karen talking about Sister Pauli talking about repentance and these kinds of things. And this message, you know, God, how many of us know God knows what he's doing? Amen.
Amen.
He know how to bring all things together. Amen.
Yeah, yeah.
You can preach about repentance every day. Amen.
Yes.
That could be a sermon every Sunday. Amen.
Yes.
The title of this message is My Very Own Religion. And I want to preface this manuscript by saying that a lot of trouble that we experience and a lot of things that are going on, number one, oftentimes, if not 100% of the time, is a result of maybe some repercussion from some wrongdoings. My very own religion speaks to this. The need for repentance speaks to the results of some wrongdoings. We don't need to repent if we ain't did nothing wrong, amen? But there was a need for repentance. It's all through the Bible about repentance. Am I right?
Yes, amen.
It's all through the Bible about, Lord, we need forgiveness. It's all through the Bible about grace.
Yes, amen.
That's how we're here today. It's because of grace. Unearned favor from God.
Thank you, Lord.
And that his mercies are fresh every morning. Undeserved forgiveness. Amen.
Amen.
And you can interchange those two. They can be undeserved favor and unearned forgiveness. Amen.
Amen.
They're one and the same. Because that's what we need. I was thinking God had spoke to me, and I think like early in the week, about, I think I was at work, and I just kind of like looking around, and the Holy Ghost was just saying to me, everybody in this world needs to be restored.
Yes. Yeah.
Every single, hallelujah, every single individual needs to be restored.
Amen.
You didn't come out ready for this world, amen? You need to be restored, amen? That's why Jesus came, amen?
Yes.
That's why we owe him our life, amen? We got several scripture passages that support my very own religion. So we'll be kind of getting through it. I'm going to try to see if we can get through this. We'll see what the Holy Ghost want to do. One way he go, in my mind, he's going this way, but the Holy Ghost might go that way. Amen. And we want to go the way he's going. Amen. There are time restraints and all that. We respect all that. But I believe that God's going to do what he intends to do today. And we're going to get the gist, hallelujah, of what God is saying to us today to bring him glory.
Yes.
Just to bring God acknowledgement and reverence. Amen.
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 I give God the glory and honor and praise for how he manages our lives through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ based on love and truth. There are times in our lives before we come into the knowledge of Christ that we go about life the way we feel it should go. Amen.
Amen.
And we live out our plan religiously. We live out our plan the way we think things should go. We live it out religiously, okay? We be committed to that thing about what I want to do. Amen. We're committed to our ignorance of God's love and perfect will for our lives. We develop what the Holy Ghost calls my very own religion. My very own religion is a comfort zone. You get this?
Mm-hmm.
And its end is humbling. My very own religion is something else. Amen. As it states in Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Notice it says its end is the way of death, meaning that this death or this end might not happen right away, but slowly and gradually. You won't see it coming because you're caught up in your very own religion. My very own religion is a disheartening position to be delving in. Having your very own religion actually keeps you apart from God.
Yeah.
The Israelites and everybody back in the Old Testament in the ancient days, whatever, because of their very own religion, we have a pandemic today, amen?
Mm-hmm.
Because of their very own religion, God had to, he just scattered them abroad. Because of their very own religion, God brought pestilence on them. Amen?
Amen.
Our very own religion can be dangerous. Our very own religion keeps us apart from God. Our very own religion, my very own religion, is sin. It is the greatest form of deception by which the devil has imposed on us. We make the enemy's job easier. Actually, when you're living in your very own, when you're doing your own thing all the time, you make the devil's job that much easier. Do you get this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think the Lord dropped on my spirit one day, and I told a coworker, Do you know you really can't do what you want to do? You really can't do what you want to do. And you were raised this way, you around your peers in high school and everything, you know, that was the mantra, you know, do what you want to do. You know, when you get grown, you can do what you want to do. But when you do what you want to do, you end up with some consequences. You really can't do what you want to do. Are you getting this? If it's not lining up with the will of God, you shouldn't do what you want to do.
Amen.
But it took me a long time to learn this, amen. So I'm trying to help you and save you some of the trouble I face. Amen. Yeah. Don't do everything you want to do. Unless it's virtuous, unless it's pure, unless it's helpful, then you do what you want to do. Unless it's godly. Amen.
Yes.
I don't know that sounds super spiritual, but that's where we got to get now. Look at the position we're in. We need to be more spiritual now. Amen.
Amen.
We need to be more godly now. Amen. Because look at where we are at this point. We're in a life and death situation right now. So there's two extremes. Either do what you want to do and do this way and not wear your mask. Get all the people faced without your mask, spitting on them and all that. Or do things God way. Wear your mask. Do the things that they have put in place to mitigate this situation, to relegate this thing, to bring it down, to calm it down so that we can live. So we can continue to worship God. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So we can continue to be in prayer and read our word and talk to one another about God and about what God said to me and what God said to you. Amen.
Amen.
That's worship when two people get in a conversation talking about God. They worshiping God. Amen. I love talking about God in the conversation. I sometimes have to sneak around and do it with somebody, me and another believer. We might have to sneak over into some other room to do it, but that's okay. We still worshiping God. We don't want to get rolled up in nothing for nothing. Lolly gang. You know, we make the enemy's job easier when we're acting out and exercising our very own religion. Because when we're operating in our very own religion, we're straddling the fence. One foot in the church and one foot in the world. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
When we have established our very own religion, the devil doesn't have to get us to believe in his ways anymore because we have our own ways by which we live. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
We actually roll in with the devil. Amen. But we won't say that's what we're doing. But if you're not rolling with God, what else are you doing? I'm sorry, there are only two ways you can go in this world, amen.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times I try to be in the middle. I want a this and that, amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
It don't work like that.
No.
It don't fly.
I know because I was one of those who epitomized having my very own religion. I wanted to be able to have my God and his blessings as well as have the lifestyle that pleased me and my friends. Let me repeat that. I was the one who epitomized having my very own religion because I wanted to be able to have my God and his blessings, right? We always want the blessings of God as well, but I also wanted, right, to have the lifestyle that pleased me and my flesh and my buddies. Amen. Having my very own religion only encompasses various acts of sin, such as greed. That was me. I wanted it all. I wanted all the simple pleasures of the world, while still being regarded as a godly man. Is that greedy or what?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can't have it all. But that's what the devil of this world wants you to believe. And we're all out here competing. We're all out here trying to strive for something that really is unattainable. But we keep going because there's so much disappointment and all that. But we keep going and keep going and keep going. But if we, you know, I think I give God the glory because God made me realize the success that I was seeking and so coveted was in Him.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's why I never could get nowhere to where I was trying to get. Amen. I was on a ladder, moving in one place. My escalator never moved up. I thought it was. I was moving in space. Amen. You know, it's ugly. My very own religion is a place where your wife and her family and friends commend you for your church going, and your worldly friends are pleased that you have not totally bought into that Jesus stuff. Amen. You get what I'm saying? Look at 1 Samuel. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 2. We're going to read verses 12 through 17. 1 Samuel chapter 2, 12 through 17. This is a sophisticated passage of scripture, but it speaks to doing things your way. Now the sons of Eli were corrupt. They did not know the Lord. 13, and the priest's custom was with the people that when any man offered a sacrifice, the priest's servants would come with a three-pronged fish hook in his hand while the meat was boiling. 14, then he would thrust it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot, and the priest would take for himself all that the flesh hook brought up. So they did in Shiloh to all the Israelites who came there. 15, also before they burned the fat, the priest's servants would come and say to the man who sacrificed, give meat for roasting to the priest, for he will not take boiled meat from you, but raw. 16, and if the man said to him, they should really burn the fat first, then you may take as much as your heart desires. He would then answer him, no, but you must give it now. And if not, I will take it by force. 17, therefore the sin of the young man was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. Thank you, Vivian. That's just like a greedy people that want what they want now, or they will take it. They will take whatever chances they need to take, not considering the consequences. You know, there are times in the world, there are times in our lives that we have just moved forward and not even thought about the consequences. But the consequences seem to drape on you afterwards. Amen. Now that's all I think about is the consequences. But I should have thought about it before I made that move. There are times we just move. We all have maybe done it, you know, and it may be some moves that we might have regretted before. And then maybe there are some who just never done something they don't regret. Amen. God bless your heart. Amen. God bless you and your perfection. Amen. You believe that, you know, you believe that when you're doing this, making these moves, and when you're in your own very own religion, you believe that you're hiding the truth, right? When you're living this double life, you believe that you're hiding the truth from those around you, when in reality, you are building up a negative case against yourself and against God. The God of our fathers will eventually expose your antics of greed, as he did with Eli's sons. Having your very own religion agitates God. Can you just picture that? You doing everything you want to do. Look at your parents. When you did stuff, everything you wanted to do, that agitated them. I know my kids agitated me when they did something that I told them not to do. It's irritating. That agitates God when we operate in our very own religion.
Yeah.
Eli's sons wanted to be recognized as servants for the church of God while enjoying a life of excess and self-indulgence. My very own religion could result in your undoing. Eli's sons had no remorse in what they were doing. They even slept with the women who would assemble at the door of the tabernacle. You know, be careful with, you know, the giftings of God, and you in some form or fashion, in some service of God, albeit teaching or preaching or whatever, it is a responsibility. So be very careful to call on God to work through you so that you don't go in your very own religion trying to teach somebody, amen? Because not only will that agitate God, but he's going to expose you and he's going to put you down, amen? And I don't mean just like physical death. I mean just put, maybe snatch a gifting out of you. Maybe not use you anymore. It's something to be with God and not go out, God, or be used by God and not being used by God. That hurts. Spiritual whoopings hurt more than the physical. Mm-hmm. If anybody ever experienced that, amen? They heard words. Trust me on this one. They last long, amen? I can take when my mother whooped me, and I can get over that when I get up in the morning, because I still give me a bowl of cereal and everything's okay. But spiritual whoopings, God makes sure you get it, amen? So you convicted constantly. Not because he's trying to hurt you or punish you, but he wants to get that thing out of you. Amen? Amen. It takes sometimes, for some of us, it takes a more intense measures to get things removed out of you that's not godly.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes some people get it on the first. You know, the first restoration period, if you will. Some people get it the first time. Okay, I messed up. I won't go there anymore. God already know who that is, but he also know the ones who would say, I got it, God, I got it, I messed up, but then will kind of still hold on to that thing. Yeah. I just feel like I'm preaching about myself today for some reason. Oh, that should have been titled Al Wan's Very Own Religion. Praise God. Praise the Lord. God cannot receive glory when you operate under your very own religion. Do you get that? God can't get glory out of your life if you're living it your way. Amen. Did you understand what I'm saying? Just think about that. But God gets glory out of your life when you're heeding his leadership. When you allow him to exact his spirit and his will and his direction in your life. Am I right, Sister CeCe?
Yes.
Amen. I'm just messing with Sister CeCe. I love she comes. I love when everybody comes. Mm-hmm. And I like to say a name every now and then. I believe that it is so important to know that God is looking at me. You know, God is looking at you. You know what I mean? Yeah. To know that I got a God's attention. That is beautiful.
Yeah.
That is beautiful to know that his word is so true that he says his eyes are on me. Amen.
Yeah.
Not you individual as trying to be a star. That's not what I mean. Not you as trying to receive glory. That's not what I mean. But what I mean is, The God of our fathers, the omniscient God, who's all wise, all knowing, is watching all of us. He says his eyes is on the unjust and the just. That's everybody. Right. Everybody has a chance for repentance, Sister Paul. Mm-hmm. Everybody has an opportunity because of our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Am I right, Brother Brown?
Amen.
Amen. Let's go to 1 Samuel, right? Go back a book. 1 Samuel. Let's go to 1 Samuel. Correction. Let's stay in 1 Samuel. Let's stay in 1 Samuel. And go to chapter 4. Amen. I don't know why I thought I went to 2 Samuel. Let's go to 1 Samuel. But this is the second part of Samuel that we're going to go to. If that makes sense.
Second part of 1 Samuel.
Oh, right. The second part of 1 Samuel. Let's go to 1 Samuel. Chapter 4. And we're going to look at verses 16 through 18. Then the man said to Eli, I am he who came from the battle, and I fled today from the battle line. And he said, what happened, my son? 17, so the messenger answered and said, Israel has fled from before the Philistines, and there has been a great slaughter among the people. Also, your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark of God has been captured. 18, then it happened when he made mention of the ark of God that Eli fell off the seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck was broken, and he died. For the man was old and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years. If we have someone close to us, or anybody we know that has established their very own religion, we need to be praying for them that God would bring them into the truth of his son and that they would abandon this idea that they're okay. Let me tell you what I mean. If you have a relative, you have a co-worker, especially if they're going to church and doing these kinds of things, which we're supposed to sharpen one another, iron sharpens iron, we're supposed to encourage one another. But if you see them doing other things that will compromise their fervence for God, their commitment, their consistency, doing this and that, one foot in the church, one foot in the world. And they think that it's okay. You're going to have to ask God in prayer, Lord, speak through me to this person so that I can say speak to this person's heart, speak to them the truth. Where I don't offend them or where I don't want to really hurt their feelings. But let me tell you something. People that's operating their very own religion, they're so sensitive. Their spiritual walk is so fragile because they actually think that they're doing this, everything's okay, because I keep waking up every morning in my very own religion. I keep living. I keep going to work. I keep doing stuff. But on the other side, the side that you don't see, they're hurting. They're struggling mightily because of hurting. They know they're hurting God. Do you hear what I'm saying? I've been there. You're hurting God and you're hurting your family. You're hurting your husband because you got all this stuff going on. And you're not the godly person that you really want to be. Let them know that there are dire consequences and repercussions for having my very own religion. That they would realize that they are actually in bondage and following two opposites, two different spirits, two different kinds of freedom. And there are eternal ramifications with having your very own religion. You can... You can will your way Not only away from God all the time while you're here on earth, but you're playing church. You can wheel your way right now, not only from your relationship with God, a solid relationship, but if you really, really determined to do things your very own way, you can find yourself in the path going down to the gate. The gate that descends, not ascends.
Amen.
My very own religion is dangerous. Living this way could determine whether or not we will be with Jesus and our Heavenly Father or with that other guy, Satan. Let's look at Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, and we're going to go to verses 15 and 16. And this is Jesus talking. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I can wish you were cold or hot. 16, so then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Yeah. Thank you, Sister Benny. This is a very serious matter with Christ, having your very own religion. God says, just choose either one. Myself, didn't mean to point to me as God, but God, myself, or Satan. Jesus wants to get on with the business of equipping us and honing us to live in eternity with Him and God. And to quit wasting your time and emotions with the stress of living up and down, back and forth, left and right. Jesus loves us so much and shows us how fair He is by giving us a choice. Just choose. And I know I'm not speaking to nobody in here, though. Amen. I know everybody in here is in the sheepfold of Christ. Amen. I know everybody in here, hallelujah, is in the army of God. Amen. With the commander in chief himself, because we're victorious. Hallelujah. We are in victory in this place. Amen. But what God is saying to us is that, hallelujah, that let somebody else know that they can be here too. Amen. That it took some work for us to get in the church door, amen. It took some work for us to get in communion with God. We were like them at first, but now we've been restored, amen. And it's a daily process. We're still being restored, amen. And that's a blessing. What if God stopped restoring us? I'd be a mess, amen. I'm so glad He's steadily restoring us. Hallelujah, I feel God in this place. I mean, really? I'm glad I'm not perfect, amen? That means God's always looking at me, amen? That means He's always trying to touch me, amen? He's always trying to fill me up with something good and virtuous. I'm glad I'm not perfect, amen? I'm glad He's perfect. And He desires for me to be perfected, amen? So keep working on us, Lord. Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Please. You know, Jesus would rather you be real with yourself so He can show you a better way. Jesus just came out and told us the truth in John chapter 3 and verse 19. And it says, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds are evil. They were evil. Excuse me. Thank you. These poignant words speak to our or my wanton behavior in the past. Now, the Google Dictionary defines wanton as this: sexually unrestrained, immoral, willful, lustful, corrupt, unvirtuous, and there are many more. This is the existing character that accompanies my very own religion. People operating in my very own religion, they're not okay, by no means. that hurt it. You can actually find yourself going to church on occasion and still practice these character traits. It's ugly. It's stressful. It's sad. Yeah. People don't know how sad and stressful it is to try to accomplish my very own religion. You're just stubborn. I mean, I like who I am. I love who I am. I like being this way. But you don't even know. You've just been getting by. You're just getting away with stuff. Everybody don't have the same setbacks and the same baggage or the same ailments or those kinds of things. The same, you know, obstacles. My obstacles and my impediments, my setbacks, I feel might be greater than yours, bigger than yours. You might feel yours might be, you know, a little bigger than mine. But all that's okay. But one thing we have in common is that we have hope.
Amen.
Because there's somebody greater than my obstacle, than my impediment, than my setback.
Yes, Lord.
Somebody that's great, and he's greater than your issue, your problem, your frailty. Our faith is in God, and our hope is in Jesus.
Amen.
Another sin we commit in exercising my very own religion is self-righteousness. There are droves of sin we commit with having our very own religion. But this one, you can begin to really believe in what you are doing, as the Apostle Paul states in Romans chapter 10. You can really, you know, with self-righteousness, that's what it's all about. You really believe in yourself. You really believe that, hey, you know, I'm actually better than my neighbor. We got more than them. We're more spiritual than them. I'm better than sister so-and-so. I'm better than brother so-and-so because I don't have those issues. Amen.
No, I just got mine.
You know, I guess, no, mine's not that great. I don't even need God to deal with mine because mine ain't that big, you know. Self-righteousness. Romans 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. 2, for I bear witness that they have zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. 3, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. Amen. Can I read that one again? I love that. That's so catchy and clever by God. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness have not submitted to the righteousness of God. Thank you. I mean, let me continue. When we get saved, we do believe that we have given our lives over to Christ, and we do this by faith. We agree with that, right? But if we don't continue in God and allow the Holy Ghost to develop a spiritual regimen for us daily, a daily spiritual regimen for us, you know, like in, you know, worship, by reading our word, devotionals, you know, praying daily, praise time throughout the week, attending church services throughout the week, and just doing things the way the Holy Ghost instructs us to do, we will struggle in our walk with the Lord and find ourselves trying to do life on our own. You know, anybody that says that, oh, living with God and walking with God, you know, going to church, all that's so boring. I just gave you a whole lot of stuff we can be doing. I just gave you quite a bit right here to keep you busy, amen. Mm-hmm. It's very exciting to be walking with God because there's always much to do, amen. Because not only is it you're doing all these things, you have your own regimen, but now you can minister to your kids, amen. And they join in with you, with your prayer, your devotional, your worship. Going to church, amen. That's pretty busy. God's a busy guy. And he can make us busy, doesn't he? And we love it. Thank you, Lord. Thank Consequently, my very own religion ensues. When we don't have a spiritual regimen given to us daily by the Holy Ghost, we can't sustain a healthy relationship with God operating our very own religion, let alone live out this life without God and still see if we can have both a life with Him and a life without Him. Look at what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 30. He who is not with me is against me. I mean, that's cut and dry right there. You know, it's one and all, amen. And he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. You just running amok. When you walking with the Lord, there's this almost like growing from being a young teenager and doing stuff, running amok and getting a little older. When you get a little older, you naturally start slowing down. You don't think, you know, you keep things in front of you better when you get old, amen? I know I ain't speaking to you, I'm probably the oldest one in here, but listen to me. I'm starting to really slow things down. I don't know if you guys experience, you young folk experience this, but when you just wait, you just run around, you just wait until, hey, you're going to start kind of slowing down, especially when you're walking with the Lord, because he gives you that peace, amen? Hallelujah. You have that, I'm giving God the glory, you have that peace. That slows things down. And then you have a better way of life. Yes. Now your life makes sense. Amen. Yes. Now it looks like you got some sense. Amen. This was my theme verse right here. He who is not with me is against me. And who does not gather with me scatter. He who is not with me is against me. God told that to me one day. He didn't paraphrase, he just said it this way. He said, look, you either for me or you're against me. And I was like, Lord, but I thought I was doing good in my very own religion, amen. I thought I was doing good with my foot over here and my foot over here too, amen.
Don't work that way.
Oh, he spoke to me, he shut that thing down, amen. And I give God the praise for it. I thank God that he shut down my very own religion. Mm-hmm. This was my anthem verse. Jesus spoke the truth into my heart when I was still oblivious to the truth about freedom and bondage. We need to know the truth about freedom and bondage. Because the world say you're free when you're doing what you want to do, but yet you're in bondage. Amen. There's some contradiction there, amen. It's spiritual contradiction. This is spiritually discerned, though. Christians know that if I'm doing everything I want to do, I do find out later I was actually entrapped. Mm-hmm. But when I did things what Jesus wanted me to do, I actually was experiencing freedom.
Amen.
I was cut loose, amen. I had joy, amen. When I realized that the chains was broken from what I was doing in the world, because I really didn't need to do what I wanted to do. I needed to do what God wanted me to do.
Amen.
Be chained. That's what Apostle Paul meant. Be chained in God. Be trapped in Christ, amen, because that's free. We'll get into that on another message another time, amen. That's deep, it really is, but it's really beautiful. I'm going to cut this short, amen. True freedom is in Christ. We do agree with that, right?
Yes.
Not doing what you want to do. Not committing to the things of Christ and denouncing, the works of the flesh is demonstrating what my very own religion is all about. When Jesus told me, Al Juan, you are either for me or against me, I was floored. I was just speechless because I never wanted to believe that I wasn't with God totally. I never wanted to believe that I wasn't doing enough God. And I really actually wasn't doing enough God. For the time being, I thought I was doing enough God, But actually, I wasn't. Not at that time. I was only doing things my way until I was ready for more God. Now, I just need to read that because I kind of bumbled on my sentence. Forgive me. Because I never wanted to believe that I wasn't with God. I thought that I was doing enough God for the time being until I was ready for more God. Anybody ever been there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, you got a time set up for God in you. When you're going to be more, you know, more godly. I'm going to be more committed. I felt like the older I got, I would continue to receive God in increments or when I needed him. Like many of us, I wasn't quite ready to be all in with God. Hence my very own religion. I had a time that I had set for God to do more. I even picked what age I would be when I would commit fully to God. I had an age pick, amen. I think it was somewhere in my 40s, amen. I wanted to make sure I was good and old and wasn't moving around too much. Unfortunately, my time and God's time was dramatically different. God had on many occasions gave me visions on how this was going to go and how I was going to be living on one side of the fence and there would be no other side anymore. God gave me a vision about that, amen. I'm sure God has given all of us visions about a better day, amen. A life that I wouldn't rebel against any longer. A life, this is what God showed me, a life that I truly wanted, just not when I predicted it. With this thing of having my very own religion, it's confusion and a lack of faith. Let's look at one more scripture. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2.
What?
No?
Find it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I miss that? I'm sorry, Sister Vivian.
I got a plethora of scriptures.
Sorry, Miss Vivian. I always be leery of that. Did I get all of them? Oh, you're an angel. For indeed. Thank you, Sister Vivian. Let's give Mrs. Vivian a hand. If you asked me to do that, I'd have walked out. Amen. You're like, no way. Thank you so much, Sister Vivian. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to... Oh, my wife, she has to go to work. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. See, God gave me this nugget one day in my spirit that sin is caused by... Listen to this. Sin is caused by... or due to a lack of faith. What does this mean? Well, if I continue to think that what I'm into can't be corrected or dismissed, I lack faith in God being able to do it. Yeah. That's what sin is. It's a lack of faith. Mm-hmm. Again, I continue to think that what I'm into can't be corrected or dismissed, I lack faith in God being able to do it. That's how our sin continues. Because we kind of don't believe that God either wants to be bothered with this particular setback or sin, or this is just too big for God. This is too much. As a matter of fact, I got four big things going on right now. No way, God. No way. I don't believe that the power of God used to raise Jesus from the dead can actually be of any help to me at this point. That's where I was at one point. The devil has convinced me that my sin is so awful and unique that Jesus will not be interested in delivering me from it. And it's the exact opposite. Christ is looking for those who seek deliverance. Jesus is looking for those with low self-esteem and spiritual insecurity. Those who are suffering with the pain of guilt and condemnation brought on by my very own religion. People who don't want to live in the hypocrisy associated with my very own religion. This is what I was hoping my very own religion wouldn't expose me of. And that's a hypocrite. That's what you are when you operate in my very own religion. That's scary. I never wanted to be known as a hypocrite. But yet, God told me, that's what you are. Oh, man, I just felt that. That's ugly. You know, Jesus told the Pharisees in Matthew 23:28, and I'll finish with this. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. And, you know, and I'm going to close in prayer. And thank you for being so patient with me today and with the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Whether we're speaking to, whether God's speaking to some of us or not, He's speaking for a reason. And again, as I alluded to earlier, He's ministering to us, and even if it don't apply to you, it's for somebody else. It's for somebody else, amen. It's for, you may not know who it is, but it could be for somebody else. It could be for somebody in your house. It could be for somebody on your job. Or somebody at Denny's. These kinds of things, you understand what I'm saying? God don't waste our time, amen. I know He don't waste time. I wasted a lot of my time in my very own religion. But I wasn't wasting God's time because He was watching everything and He had everything set up for a purpose. Amen. Let me close in prayer. Father God, we come in the name of Jesus this morning. Lord, humble before the foot of God. Lord, we empty it out. Lord God, we're empty out. Why? Because we want whatever might be inside of us, Lord, that maybe, Lord God, that might even be in line with, I don't know, going the wrong way, or in line with maybe doing things my own way all the time. Lord, I just pray in Jesus' name that, Lord God, starting with me, that, Lord God, that you would, Lord God, you will replace anything that is not heading your way, anything that's not on that narrow, righteous road that leads to God, that leads to Christ. I pray in Jesus' name, Lord God, that the plan that you have for each and every one of our lives today, Lord God, will lead us to you, and that you will keep us on that narrow, righteous road until we see you. Yes. Lord, don't let us stray to the left or the right. Don't let us, if you, Lord God, if the inkling of my very own religion, the very concept, if it was to seem like it's coming our way, Lord God, if it seems like we're starting to, we get comfortable with it, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you would break that thing.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. I pray, Lord God, that you would just, hallelujah, you would just ban that thing. And you would continue to keep us separated from our very own fleshly desires and our very own fleshly failures and frailties. That we will be strong in the Lord, and that our joy will come from you, and that we will continue to go towards God with a fervor. Hallelujah. Not only, Lord God, for ourselves, but for those around us that you will have us minister to. Bless each and every household here today that's represented in these seats, and those that want to be here and couldn't make it, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name you would even keep them away from delving in my very own religion. These things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much. Glory to Jesus. Thank you
for bringing that good word to us.
Hey. Thank you. Glory to Jesus. Thank you.
Let's all stand together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this word that has come forth. I just pray, Lord, that you will just make it go deep into our hearts, Lord. Let us take it to heart.